doom of apostasy and the folly of apostasy. Then we began to look on the lighter side, and we began to discuss the antidote for apostasy. Amen. Because nobody want to fall away, y'all. Nobody want to turn their backs on Jesus. Amen. And so the writer of Hebrews gives us, amen, four things that'll keep us in the faith. Amen. And we covered one last time. He said, number one, remember the former days. Amen. Number two, recompense of reward. Number three, patience. And number four, faith. We'll cover two, three, and four tonight quickly, if the Lord would so have it. Amen. But he said, remember the former days. That'll keep you from falling away. That'll keep you from, amen, apostatizing, amen. And that remember means to look back. Look back to the days when you was first saved, but also look back to all the suffering, all the struggles, the trials, the afflictions that the Lord brought you through, amen. And that should give you some encouragement not to turn back. Because God done brought you too far to give up on you now. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. So we want to look at point number two. Amen. And it's kind of like point number one, but it's the opposite. Point number one is look back and be encouraged to stay in the faith. Point number two is look ahead and be encouraged to stay in the faith. Come on, give him glory. Amen. Amen. Point number two is recompense of reward. And we see it in verse 34 and 35. He says, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have, watch this, in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Therefore, he says in 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. The second deterrence, y'all, for apostasy, the second antidote of apostasy is the hope of future rewards in heaven. Future rewards in heaven. As we look at this verse in the NLT, amen, the writer of Hebrews says it like this. You knew there were better things waiting for you, things that will last how long? Forever. Amen. The writer of Hebrews says, look ahead. It's going to be greater later. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I serve a God who saves the best for last. Amen. Who says your latter end will be greater than your beginning. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but amen, a lot of people blessed on this side of heaven. Amen. But listen, we're going to be way more exceedingly blessed when he come back to get us. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. The Bible has a premise. The end of a thing is better than the beginning. Amen. And I'm telling you, when God finish with you, amen, when God finish his work in us, we ain't going to know what hit us, amen? Come on, give God some glory, amen? Amen? That's what point number two is all about, amen? That you got a reward coming that's so sweet, you don't want to fall away and miss it. You don't want to turn your back on Jesus when you done came so close to the rewards that's waiting for us in heaven. Now, the Bible talks about all kind of rewards, y'all. It talks about mansions in heaven. Anybody want a mansion in heaven? Amen. Meaning that God's going to bless us with living arrangements that most of us won't see on this side of glory. Amen. But based upon our service to him, our love to him, our devotion and loyalty to him. Amen. So will be our rewards when he come back. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Now, some people under the false pretense that everybody going to be given the same thing. But my Bible don't teach that. Amen. Hallelujah. My Bible teaches, amen, that the more you work for the Lord, the more you get back from the Lord. Amen. Now, salvation is free. Yeah, we all get in for free. But what you going to do with your ticket in? Huh? You see, the Bible tells us in Corinthians, amen, that what we do for Christ is going to last. And while we serve him, amen, we storing up treasures. Where? In heaven. If we was all getting the same thing, Jesus would have never told you to store up because it's already done. But he's telling you to store up because on earth we have an opportunity to affect our eternity. Oh, God, have mercy. If you knew you was here in this place temporarily, but you was moving to another place, but in this place you had the opportunity to FedEx, UPS, send by mail all the treasures that you could accumulate here, You wouldn't be trying to get rich here. You'd be trying to get rich where you're going, which is over there. Oh, God, have mercy. I'm telling you, you got to store up what? Treasures. Where? In heaven. There's rewards coming. There's rewards coming. There's not only only mansions and streets of gold, amen. There's crowns. There's crowns. God's going to give crowns, man, to his people, his servants, man. Those that endured temptation, huh? Those that, like Paul, fought the good fight, amen. Those that went through affliction that nobody else know that they're going through, crying at night, but still won't let go of Jesus, huh? Those who was raised in bad situations, amen. You look at them today, but you can't tell where they come from. You can't feel their pain. You don't know what mama did them and daddy did them. Amen. You just judge them for today, but you don't know what they done been through. But God knows. God knows. And God see all of that. And God say, oh, yeah, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to reward you for that. I dare say that there's some here you think ain't going to get any rewards. They're going to have more rewards than the ones we think that's getting the rewards. Woo! There's rewards in heaven. Amen. And the writer of Hebrews is saying you got to hang on because you do not want to forfeit, amen, the best things that's coming to you. He gives three reasons, amen, hallelujah, why the recompense of reward is something that should keep us in the faith. He says that it's better. It's enduring. And lastly, he calls it a substance. Amen? A substance. Let's begin. Amen? You should hold on for your rewards in heaven because your rewards are better. Amen? Better. Amen. What the writer here means is that what we get in heaven is better than anything that you could ever have on earth. Amen. It's better than anything that you could ever lose on earth. Amen. And our possessions here on earth can be fancy, y'all. I'm talking about the cars and the clothes and the shoes and the bling and all of that. And you can get it the way you want it on earth. But any way you want it on earth will never be able to compare to how he gonna do it in heaven. Ooh, woo! Everything is better in heaven, huh? We'll have a better life in heaven, a better body in heaven, a better heart in heaven, a better mind in heaven, a better worship in heaven, a better estate in heaven, and a better society to live together. All is going to take place where? In heaven. It's going to be better. You see, it's going to be better. In Romans 8:18, it says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what? With the glory which shall be revealed in us when he comes back. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you have, when Paul says, I reckon it, that means I count it. I put it on a scale. It's not worthy to even be compared to what we get in heaven. Come on, give God some glory. It's better. Hang in there. Huh? Also, it's enduring. It's enduring. Look at verse 34. Look what it says. It says at the end of it that we have a better and an enduring substance. That's what it says at the end. All right? You should hold on to Jesus because your reward is not only better, it's an enduring reward. Our treasures in heaven, y'all, they endure. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that they last forever. Since heaven is forever, your treasures that you get in heaven are forever. It means that the treasures he give you, you could never spend it all. All right? That's different than earth. I give you a check today, and by next week, that check might be gone. You could win the lottery today, amen, and by 5 years, we done seen it, it could be gone. But what God give you on this, on that side of glory, you could never spend it all. Anybody hear me up in here? It's an enduring treasure. Guess what else? Enduring means your enemies could never take it away. You know, hallelujah, we can get some nice things, but people can steal them from us. How many people had some things that they used to like stolen before? Amen? Huh? Well, the Bible says our treasures in heaven, Jesus says, store up them treasures where thieves cannot break in and steal. It's an enduring treasure. Not only that, moss and rust could never corrupt. How many people had some pair of shoes that they really like? But them shoes get old. Pair of pants that just don't fit no more. Hallelujah. Huh? 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 Things get old. They corrupt. They rust. They get moth-eaten. Our treasures in heaven, guess what? They are enduring. The houses, the mansions, they last forever. The crowns, they shine forever. The glory that he give us, the people that he put under our rule in heaven, is going to last forever, y'all. It's an enduring treasure. 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. That's what heaven is, the treasures. It's incorruptible. Undefiled, can't be defiled. Faded not away. Why? Because they are reserved in heaven for you. By who? Who are kept by what? By the power of God. Through what? Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The reason why our treasures in heaven are better and they endure is because God keeps our treasures with the power that's in his hand. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Matthew Henry says that this heavenly reward will outlast time and run parallel with eternity. Every crown you get, every jewel in heaven, every mansion will outlast time. Why would you want to play games here with glitter and dust and temporary pleasures, and you trade those temporary things, wanting them instead of eternal things? Huh? Huh? It would be like somebody giving you, amen, a pound of gold. And you take that pound of gold, but you like that quart of milk that they got in their hand. And you say, give me the milk, you can have the gold. That's what you're trading when you trade, hallelujah, eternity for that drug. When you trade eternity for that woman, eternity for that man, eternity for that addiction. Amen. You're trading something eternal for something temporary. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Amen. Lastly, he says it's a treasure of substance. It's better, huh? It's adoring, and it's substance. I love this part. He looks at it here in verse 34 again at the end of it. He calls it, amen, an enduring, a better, and an enduring what? Substance. Pastor, what's substance? Substance is something that's real. Something that you can touch. Something that you can handle. It's not nothing imaginary. No, it's something real. What we get in heaven is real, y'all. I know they talk about the pie in the sky and imaginary things, but no. God done promised this. And everything he promises is going to come to pass. All of his promises are what? Yes and amen. They are real. And they worth the wait. And they worth you staying in Christ. In fact, the treasures in heaven are more real than the things here on earth. They're more real than the things here on earth. What you mean, Pastor? Well, watch this. Amen. The cars, the clothes, the houses, the beds, the bikes, huh? Huh? The nails, the hair, no matter how long, no matter how Brazilian, Peruvian, huh? All of that, amen. It's transitory. It shadows. The older I get, the more I believe that this side of heaven is just a game. It's just a big game. It's like a Monopoly game that God done set us in. And here we are running the streets, killing and gangbanging over money that's not real. Over money that's not real. Cutting up, sleeping around, prostituting, cutting up over money that's not real. Fighting each other, falling out with each other. Pulling out the worst out of every single one of us over something that's not real. This is a game, y'all. And Father God is watching this game and seeing how you operate in this game to determine your eternity after the game. Woo! That's why he's saying don't fall away over Monopoly money. over the temporary pleasures of sin for a season. He said, don't fall away over this, man. This is a game, man. This side is not even the real side. The unseen side is the real side. For the unseen things are first, and the seen things are only manifestations of the unseen things. The seen things are only shadows. They're only shadows. You're caught up in a game, a matrix. And what would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world? Because the soul is the real thing when the world is the fake. Come on, give God some glory, huh? Our reward is actual substance. You see? It's substance. He tells us here in 2 Corinthians 4 and 17, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. We playing a game, man. You know? Now, the blessing is if you could be like Abraham and be rich in Monopoly and rich in heaven. Now, that would be the blessing. I'm not telling y'all be broke. I ain't saying that. But I'm saying realize that it ain't nothing. You falling out with people over that. Man, take the money and go, man. All right. So as we look at point number two, he says an antidote for apostasy is realize your reward that's coming. Stay in Christ. Amen. And it's one of the things that he tells us, and I'm going to move on to point number three right here in our sermon series. But it's one of the things he tells us in Revelation 3:11. He says, behold, I am coming quickly, says the Lord. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You hear what the Lord is saying? And do you know which church he's telling that to? He's telling that to Philadelphia. He said, Philly, hold fast. Hold fast. Don't you turn your back on me, Philly. Hold fast. Don't let nobody steal your crown because you got a crown waiting for you, Philly. You got rewards waiting for you. Let them act how they want, but you don't act that way. Don't let them steal your crown, Philly. Don't you ever turn your back on Jesus. You see? Don't let no man steal your crown. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Now, these last two points, amen, are two things that, amen, I think are really important. He's going to give us some characteristics that I think are essential, amen, for you remaining in the faith. He talks about patience, and he talks about faith, amen. Now, you got to understand, as he talks about faith here, he's going to take faith and carry it into a beautiful, beautiful poetic soliloquy of faith in chapter 11, amen. I can't wait to get to it, amen, where he gives us the definition of faith. He's just going to carry this on. So we just going to scratch the surface tonight, amen. But just hold on tight because we come into it, amen. Hallelujah, in chapter 11. Come on, give God some glory, amen. So two characteristics, he says, that'll keep you from falling away. And that's our point number three in the sermon series. Number one right here, characteristic, point number three, is patience. Somebody say patience. Amen. That's an antidote to apostasy. He says in 36 of Hebrews, he says, for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. All right? You need patience. You need patience. You're going to have to learn how to wait on God, not to fall away. You need patience. That after you do what God wants you to do, you wait on God. And what the writer here is saying is, you do your part, and you worry about your part, and God's going to do his part. After you've done the will of God, that you can wait on God. You know, he's telling us in a sassy way, do your part and be quiet. Do your part and wait on the Lord. Somebody say patience. This word patience in the Greek means a cheerful endurance. I endure, I wait, but not murmuring and complaining. It's a cheerful endurance. It's almost like a praise while I wait. What's Ronnie P. song? I don't mind waiting. On the Lord, it's a cheerful endurance. It's a patient continuance. And that means while I wait, I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to do like them children and catch a tantrum on the floor in Walmart till I get what I want. I'm going to keep going while I wait. I'm going to keep praying while I wait. Keep worshiping while I wait. Keep reading my word while I wait. Keep at church while I wait. God, I ain't going to just stop everything I'm doing. I'm not going on strike. I'm going to serve you while I wait. Or anybody listening up in here? That's what this patience is. It's a waiting on God with a cheerful continuance. And then it says a hopeful waiting. Meaning that while I wait, amen, I have hope, amen, that my waiting won't be in vain. That my God going to deliver. That he going to do what he said he going to do. If I stand by his word, he going to come through. No weapon. All right? It's a cheerful, continuing, hopeful waiting. That's what you need to not apostatize. That's what you need not to fall away. God, I'm going to wait on you and I'm going to do it joyfully. God, I'm going to wait on you and I'm going to do it while continuing to do what I need to do. I'm going to wait on you, God, while hoping that any day you're going to change my situation. Come on, give him glory. In order to avoid apostasy, you're going to need this kind of endurance, this kind of perseverance. See, the Bible says the race is not given to the swift or to the strong. It's not given to the sprinters, y'all. This ain't a sprint, it's a marathon. Christianity is not a sprint, it's a marathon. You're not here for a day. You're not here for a week. This is not the style for the first few years. Amen. We are here forever. Anybody hear me up in here? We're going to serve him. How long? Forever. You understand me? It's an endurance game. All right? All right? And it don't matter what go wrong. No, y'all. We wait. No matter what go wrong. See, because in life, while you're waiting on God, you're going to suffer sometimes. Anybody ever had to wait on God, something you want, and while you're waiting, it's hurt? It's painful? You're suffering? It ain't what you want? Amen. You ain't never even asked for this? Huh? But guess what? Even in that, you're going to have to wait on the Lord. One of my favorite scriptures in Habakkuk 3:17. It's an awesome book because Habakkuk started the book complaining. But by the time God finished with him, he ain't complaining no more. Anybody hear me up in here? And it's all right, because sometimes God will put us through some things that test our mettle, test what we made of. And sometimes God just want to show us we not all that we think we are. And after we go through, we're like, oh, God, I didn't really have it together like I thought I did. And that's Habakkuk. He had to teach Habakkuk a lesson. You see? And so by the time he finished with Habakkuk, Habakkuk said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. He says, yet in spite of all this, I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He give and he take away. You see, you either going to be a Job in this thing or you're going to be a Job's wife. You're going to say, blessed be the name of the Lord, or you're going to say, curse God and die. In order for you not to apostatize, you're going to have to learn how to be patient with the Most High God. Because it's time not like our time. You got a microwave fast food time. And God don't have time. God is in eternity. Huh? But how many people know that he may not come when you want him to, but he's always right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Listen to me now. A patience, and that patience waiting on God will keep you from turning your back on God. You know how many people turn their back on God just because God ain't gave them what they want when they want it? The arrogance, the pride. The pot looking up to the potter telling them what they want. Your theology is messed up. You got to wait on the Lord. But you not only need patience for the bad times, you need patience for the good times. Oh yeah, you're going to have to endure good times. You see, because some people fall away when it's bad, and others fall away when it's good. Are you with me here so far? And you either one or the other of these people right here. All right? Some of y'all like to go through. Y'all grab tighter onto God when there's trouble. You like Jonah. You put me in the belly of a whale. You see? All right? But let the Lord bless you. Let him answer your prayers. Let him put you on that house on the hill and that car. Let him give you that boat. Let him give you them red bottoms. Let him give you that fame. Let him put you on, hallelujah, the cover of this magazine. Let the Lord give you what you've been praying for. Can you endure the success? Can you endure the fame? Can you endure the luxury and the opulence? Can you endure this world is what I'm talking about. This is the strategy of the enemy in America. To lull us to sleep with luxury. And it works for a lot of believers. You're going to need endurance not only for the good times, but you'll need it for the bad times. There was a great military general around 200 B.C., by the name of Hannibal of Carthage. New information coming out, amen. They always portrayed him as white, but new information coming out that Hannibal, one of the greatest military leaders, that he was actually black. Because he was from Northwest Africa, amen. Come on, give God some glory to that. I'm telling you, all kind of people going to start coming out being black now. That we never knew. Yes, I'm telling you. I'm black, you know what I'm saying? But listen, come on, let's keep going. Michael Jackson, black. Listen to me. Hannibal was one of the greatest military generals, y'all. He would beat the Romans up like no other. He beat their legions time after time. Just whip them. I'm talking about strategy and just battle tactics. He was like no other. The only way they finally got a chance to beat him was that they got a bunch of students together to study his strategies, then turn his strategies against him. One of his triumphs was, hallelujah, when Rome couldn't be penetrated, amen, it was impervious to assault because of it being in the seven mountains, amen. Hannibal took elephants and crossed the Alps with elephants in his army. Come on down into Italy. When Hannibal came into Italy, they didn't know what to do with him. He occupied Italy for 15 years, almost took over the whole Roman Empire. But he made a mistake. Hannibal went to a city in the wintertime called Capua. Capua was a luxurious city. A city where anything you wanted, you could get. And when the Roman armies couldn't beat the armies of Hannibal, luxury and opulence made them soft, made them unwilling to fight, made them unwilling to go to war when the war came. And that's how Hannibal was defeated. See, sometimes the devil won't beat you with anything that's going to hurt you. Sometime he gonna beat you with the very things that you've been asking for and praying for. Ooh. Do you have endurance not only for the bad times, but for the good times? You see? Y'all still up out there? All right? Yeah? Somebody say endurance. In 37 it says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. And will not tarry. You see? Jesus is saying, hold on. Jesus saying, I won't be long. He said he was coming, and guess what? He coming like he said he was. In Luke 21, 19, he says, in your patience, possess your souls. In James 5, 7, and 8, look what he says. He says, glory to God, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. For the husbandman, the farmer, waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long, what? Patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. You would not want to be a person that let go of the Lord and then the Lord show up next week. You'd be like, great. Just my luck. Just when I gave up the Saints, they won the Super Bowl. Or heaven. And just when I turned my back on the Lord, he come back. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Amen. Here's the last one, and we're going to get out of here. Y'all still up? We're talking about apostasy, and how can you stay away from it? Huh? He told us, look back to the good days and the bad days. He said, look ahead to your rewards in heaven. Don't forfeit that. He says, try a little patience on the Lord. Endure the bad times. Endure the good times. Huh? Because it's the ones that's endure that's real, y'all. And then he gives us, amen, our last one. He gives us faith. All right? He gives us faith. I want to tell you that this one is very important, y'all. In verse 38, he says, now the just shall what? Shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. To avoid apostasy in times of suffering, in times of affliction, in times of luxury, opulence, you not only need patience, but you need faith. All right? Faith is the assured persuasion in the truth of God's promise. It's an assured persuasion in the truth of God's promise. You are assured, you are persuaded that what God said is true. Tony Evans says it like this. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth, y'all. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. And then the definition goes on. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth even when it's not so. He said I was healed and I'm not even healed yet. But because he said I'm healed, I'm healed. Acting like what God said is true, even if it ain't so. All right? Because we have to believe God more than our situation, more than our circumstance, more than what the doctor say, the lawyer say, more than what the banker say, more than anything, we got to believe God. And that's faith. Acting like what God says is true, even though it ain't so. All right? He told Sarah, Sarah, you're going to have a child. Look, it wasn't so. You see? All right, but it continues. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth, even when it's not so. Watch this. In order that it might be so. This is important. Because unless you act like what God says is so, even though it don't appear to be so, it's not going to be so. According to your faith, let it be unto you. So if you can act like what God says is true, you're going to get everything that God promised you. Are you with me so far? All right? We grew up, everybody wanted to be an actor. Denzel, you know? I'm this one, I'm that one, huh? All right? I want to tell you something. Can you act like Jesus? Because Jesus acted like whatever the Father said, that was it. Can you act like God is telling the truth? Huh? What you believe in God for tonight? Begin to act like it's true. Begin to walk around the house like it's so. Huh? Begin to live like it's so. Huh? You're praying for finance, but Pastor, I'm broke. Begin to act like you're blessed and highly favored. Your daddy owned the cattle on a thousand hills. Begin to act like it. Begin to walk around. Begin to look at some cars. Begin to go look at how. Begin to act like it's, oh, you ain't ready for this. You ain't ready for this. They don't understand. I act like what he's saying is true. I walk up to this building, amen, and walk up to the man, amen, that owned it and stuff like that. I walk up. I'm acting like we could afford it. Tyrone, are you listening to me? I was acting like I, look, 201 Pine Street, I acted like we could afford it. I'm talking to that man, yes, sir, oh, yes, sir. Oh, what, how much you want? Oh, well. But you see, when you know your daddy, when you know your daddy, you ain't got to act hard. Hill, you know what I'm talking about. Y'all got to start walking up to some stuff, acting like it. Y'all not acting. Y'all acting out, but you're not acting up. You got to start acting up. You hear me over there? Start acting up. What you want from God? What you want from God? See, that's faith. I'm giving y'all too much. Let me go ahead and keep moving. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so. Let me tell you, man, we done bought some things in life, me and my little wife. You understand what I'm saying? We done met some people, negotiated some things. You understand? Be like, oh yeah, God gonna do it. How much you want for it? And the funny thing is, it's hard to act like when they tell you how much. It take practice, huh, here? Because the first time they tell you, you're gonna swallow, they're gonna watch your attitude. But after a while, amen, they come up tell you, and they tell you, Mark, they say 1.2. You say, okay. That's how you look at them too, Mom. And they say, ooh, we got that. They start believing with you. They start, woo. That's my wife. I got a millionaire calling my phone almost every month. He want me to buy something from him. Something I'm not ready for, but I done shook his hand. I shook his hand and said, oh, how much you want for that? Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, my. He believe it for me until God give it to me. And not only is my faith, but his faith. Y'all ain't ready for this. Am I lying, baby? Listen. Come on. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so. I'm acting like it. Listen, man, you remember when my wife was with child that last time? I didn't know what she was having. I didn't know. How I'm going to know that, Mike? There's no way for me to know that. I'm going to put my ear in her stomach. No. But I knew what I wanted. And I knew what God said. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I'm going to give it to you. I knew his promise. I knew what he wanted. So I began to act like it. I bought him boy things and began to call his name, and faith is the substance. Things unseen, the evidence. Ooh, God. Substance, things hoped for. Evidence of things unseen. Listen to me, man. When you gonna start acting? No, y'all getting too much for that tonight. Y'all getting too much. Peter acted like he could walk on water. Peter acted like it. You see? We go up to them hotels in them different cities. We don't know if people are going to come. Y'all not feeling me, man. I'm telling you. We don't know if them people going to come. I'm saying it's real, man. But we go over there. And we act like they're going to come. Keith and Michelle, we out there sitting at the table with the hotel, signing contracts before they come. The only way to pay for the hotel is if they come. Well, there's other ways. I'm hoping not to be able to do it another way. But you act like it. I'm moving on. Act like that's your house. Act like that's your job. Act like that's your child. No, not nobody else's child. But... Man, listen, man. When I got hired at the DA's office, man, listen, man. Man, I went over there and I told them people, man, I said, that's my job, man. That's my job, man. I'm not going in there as like y'all about to hire. Man, that's my job, man. Man, when I start, man, I'm ready. Man, I'm dressing like that's my job, man. I'm not walking in there, you're going to have to tell me how to dress. That's my job. One of them jobs, dude told me, start today. Yeah, I'm ready to start. That's my job. Leave, get out of here, man. Get off my job. You're doing my job. Get off my job. I gotta keep going, babe, but it was just something right there. Somebody say faith. Okay. We'll save that for chapter 11. Listen. Faith not only will get you things in life from God, because faith is our currency in heaven. The more you have it, the more you act like, is the more God going to want to do business with you. Faith gets you things. Faith is so important to what we do, our whole religious belief system is called the faith. We are saved by faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith, and when we die by faith. Anybody with me here so far? If you could grab hold of faith, let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you something. It's going to take your walk to another level. You see? Faith is that which will keep you from falling away. All right? We're going to get back to the things that can get you later when we cover chapter 11. But for the express purpose of this lesson, faith will get you through this life. Still holding on to God. All right? In Luke 22:31, remember, Jesus told Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to what? Sift you. Like what? Like wheat. He said, but I have what? I've prayed for thee. Now, Jesus could have prayed for anything in the world for Peter. He could have prayed for Peter's love. He could have prayed for Peter's, I don't know, just his bravery, his courage. He could have prayed for any kind of thing that Peter would learn the word more. No. He picked one thing to pray for Peter when all hell was coming against Peter. He said, I have prayed for thee. And what area did Jesus seek to address as he was praying for Peter, that Peter would never turn his back on the Lord? He said that thy faith would fail not. Writer of Hebrews said, you don't want to apostatize? Faith. Just believe God. Just trust God. No matter what you go through, just believe him. No matter what they bless you with, just believe him. Just hold on to him and don't let him go. Just have faith. In fact, in Ephesians 6:16, it says, out of all the armor of God, Paul says, above all these other armaments, defensive, offensive weapons, he says, above all these other things, he said, take unto yourself the shield of what? Faith. Faith. What will that shield of faith do for me when all hell is coming against me? With this shield of faith, you will be able to quench, extinguish, put out every single fiery dart from the wicked one. Somebody say faith. You never let go. You never stop believing. As long as you have this, no matter what they do to you, you'll never turn back. You'll never fall away. It's all about faith. It's all about faith. That's why he says, amen, in 38, the just shall live by his faith. Every single day of your life. Your life is all about believing God. You see? You see? In 39, he concludes. He says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that really believe, y'all, to the saving of the souls. As we look at this verse, understand that the writer of Hebrews is including himself in this. And he's talking about true believers. He says, but we, true believers, we not of them who draw back unto perdition. The true don't ever turn back. The true don't ever let go. The true believe to the end. Anybody hear me up in here? John said they went out from us because they wasn't of us from the very beginning. And when you see somebody fall back, amen, you don't question God, you question them and their salvation. You don't question his strength to hold on to them, you question whether they really was holding on to begin with. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition. We ain't going to nobody's hell. You see? But we are of them that believe to the what? To the saving of the soul. You see? He's saying that's the kind of faith you need, man. That's the kind of faith, a real faith. Where you believe so strong in him, he done changed your soul. They got some that believe and it just changed just their mind. Nah, this thing right here, it done changed my soul, huh? My soul has changed. And I can go through things and whatnot or whatever like that, but one thing I ain't gonna never do, I ain't letting go of my Savior. I ain't letting go of my Jesus. Yeshua is mine forever. Anybody hear me up in here? No matter what come. No matter what come. You see? The world got a faith problem. World got a faith problem. Especially some of the Gentiles, they got a faith problem. They done stopped believing God. Hallelujah. Carlos, you can come on up. We better drive into the driveway. Come on, we gotta get out of here. There's a faith problem. Somebody say, Lord, increase my faith. And you want that lower level of faith where you believe to salvation. But then you want faith in every area. Faith that he gonna heal me. Faith that he gonna provide for me. Faith that he gonna heal through me. Faith that he gonna provide through me. Not that I'm gonna just be provided for, but I'm gonna be a conduit of provision and healing and anointing. That is the next level where we want you to be. Don't you just be here receiving a fish. No! God wants you to have enough faith where you a fish market yourself. Where other people can come to you and be blessed. Where is your faith? You see, you looking at you, but I'm looking at God. You looking at you, but I'm looking at God. And me, I know that God can do what he said he would do. That's what I know. That's what I know. I don't care about what you're going through, what you've been through, what you passed. I don't care nothing about that. All I know is that God can work miracles through you. Hallelujah. If you just believe him and walk with him. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. I got to get out of here, man. I got to get out. They're pulling the prophetic out of me. Hallelujah. I don't know what's wrong with them, man. Listen, man. I don't come from nothing. I don't come from nobody. Just a little scraggly little dude riding his bike on Whitney Street. Grew up in a two-bedroom house with six kids. Three boys, three girls, one room. Went to the blackest elementary school there was besides Truman, Alice Boucher. And when I had to transfer to J.W. Falk. Got in a fight the first day of school, baptized in Knuckles. Never was the same after that. Man, I ain't nobody, man. But I know somebody. I'm telling you, he's gonna fulfill every promise to you. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I ain't nobody. I ain't nobody, Mike. I ain't nobody, man. I just believe him. I just believe him and I act like I believe him. I ain't nobody, but I know that God can take a nobody and take him all over the world. I just know that I know that I know. He did it for Billy Graham. He did it for D.L. Moody. And I'm not going to stop till he do it for me. And I'm going to act like he's going to do it. I'm going to act like he's going to do it. It's time for you to start acting. Come on, look at your neighbor. Tell him it's time for you to start acting. That's awesome. Where Brian at? Where Brian at? Where Brian at? He's going to fulfill. Y'all remember that song? Don't give up.
Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He is able.
Ooh. It's not you able. Hallelujah. What is it again? Say it again. He
is able.
Hallelujah. It ain't got nothing to do about you, your mama, your daddy. Come on, tell the world who's able. Tell him. Come on.
Here we go.
He is able. Hallelujah.
He's able to do.
Oh, my God.
Just what he said.
Hallelujah.
He will do.
Hallelujah. He's going to fulfill.
He's going to fulfill.
Everyone, hallelujah, don't you dare give up on God. You're going to need some patience. You're going to need some endurance. You're going to need some faith. Hallelujah. And you're going to need to know, hallelujah,
he is able.
Come on, give God some glory in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He's able.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey! Come on, say it.
He is able.
I want to pray with you now. As the song keep going on in the background, I just want to pray with you. Lift up your hands right now. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's it right there. That's it right there. God, I'm praying in the name of Jesus that every person with their hand up right now, hungry to believe you, needing you to move mountains in their life. God, they might not even see how it can happen, but thank God they don't need to see. Thank you that you are able. God, we thank you that it don't matter what the doctor said. It don't matter what the lawyer said. Don't matter what the bank said. We thank you, God, that you got the last word. Hallelujah. That you're able, God. We thank you, God. So right now, we pray that you would increase our faith as a people, our faith as a church, our faith as a nation, God. Woo! Where we was weak at, where we was embarrassed to walk with you, where we didn't want to act like we were relying on your promise because we would have been shamed if it wouldn't have come through. God, we're not going to be shamed no more, because those that love you and trust you shall never be put to shame. We're going to stretch out. We're going to walk out. And God, like Daniel and the Hebrew boys say, though he slay me, yet still will I trust in the Lord. I will trust in your daddy. Trust in your daddy. Trust in your daddy. Increase their faith, God. Increase their faith right now, God. Increase their faith right now, God. Let them stop looking at themselves. Increase their faith right now, God. Ooh, God got some jobs for some of y'all to do, but your faith has been small. Your faith has been small. He got some assignments for some of y'all, but your faith has been small. You've been looking at yourself for too long. You've been looking at yourself for too long. And not the excellency of his glory that's abiding on the inside of you. Father, take these jars of clay and fill us with your glory. Fill us with your glory. Fill us with your glory. The people that know and love their God shall do great exploits. Fill us with your glory. Let us be water walkers. 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 Don't let our life be a mediocre life. Don't let our life look like we're supposed to be where we are. When we done, let them know that God done took a man, took a woman, and done the impossible with it, God. Let them know, God. Let them say when we walk in, you don't belong here. Let them say when we walk up on the stage, you don't have enough credentials. Let them say it, God. Like they said of your apostles. For these are just fishermen. Take us, Daddy. And let us turn this world upside down. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah! 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 Thank you! Thank you! Thank you!
He's able to do.
Thank you.
Just what he said he would do. And he's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able.
May the Lord bless you. May he keep, may he cause his face to shine.